In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen. Our Messiah come. Christos anesti. Cristo ha resucitado. Some of you know that should it ever be God's will that we become a parish, I hope to call the parish St. Fotini. I think this gospel passage is one of the greatest models of evangelization, all the more for our day and age. Look up. Look up and look out and see that the harvest is ripe. Living in a first world country in the 21st century oftentimes makes grasping many of the sacred texts of our liturgy and sacred scripture difficult to understand. Today's gospel passage, it would be an example of that. How many of us have taken a few moments to consider the actual vital importance of well water? All the more, a deep well that offers cool and refreshing water to slake one's parched throat and baked, crusted lips. In a technologically advanced society such as ours, clean drinking water is taken for granted. It is but a turn of the faucet, and you have water to drink. And not only water to drink, you can pick whatever temperature you want for that water. In the not-too-distant past, however, even here in Texas, water was considered one of the most precious and most valuable commodities you could have, more precious than gold. Without access to water, one or two things would happen. You would die, or you found your life at the mercy of the person who owned that source of water. You might get that glimpse when you watch Lawrence of Arabia or some of those movies about the Middle East. He who had the well had control of the land. Wednesday of this week celebrated the great feast of mid-Pentecost. The Troparion speaks of thirst and water. Quote, give my thirsty soul to drink from the waters of true worship. For you call out to all men, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. End of quote. Living in a consumerist society with plenty of drinking water, we really do have little understanding of what genuine physical thirst is. We can read about it, we can think about it, but they're just ideas. All the more, immersed in a materialistic, secular society, we perhaps have even fallen into a more dire thinking. We've lost the thirst for true worship. The Samaritan woman, whom tradition has come to call Saint Fotini, the enlightened one, and the one who goes and brings light, however, did experience a genuine physical and spiritual thirst. And she experienced that thirst every day of her life. What is more, she had to labor strenuously to quench that very thirst, both physical and spiritual. That's why she had five husbands, and the one she was living with, she was seeking spiritual fulfillment, love. Coupled with that onerous labor and profound desire, Saint Photini and the other villagers experienced a daily fear. We don't even think about this. What would happen one day if that well, Jacob's well, were ever to run dry? Or what would happen if some marauders came by and poisoned the water? For people back then, this was a matter of life and death. Oftentimes, if your well ran dry, which was quite often, you had to pick up your entire existence, leave behind most of what you had, and move on to another place and try to find another well. Such is the situation upon which Jesus the Christ enters Sychar, the town of Samaria. He entered this town and he went and sat upon that famous, familiar, biblical well called Jacob's Well. And it was the heat of the day, it was the middle of the day, and shortly thereafter something strange happened. A woman, alone, approached to fill her jar with water. That's not normal in the Middle East. You don't go out in the heat of the day to draw water. All the more in a society rooted in a very strong communal society, you didn't go by yourself to draw the water. That was often a time when the women would gather in the mornings. While they were filling their jars, they would visit and they would talk. So here comes a woman who's obviously alienated from her community. She comes to the well, and there our Lord's sitting. And he says to her, "Give me to drink." A scandal of scandals. A man sitting with a woman in public, and then asking her for a drink. A woman who's an exile of the society. And what John the Apostle goes on to record is one of the most profound encounters, I would say, in all of his gospel. John, through this very human experience, offers profound insights into the nature of God, into the nature of the human person, and into the nature of true worship. God, who has placed within the human heart a profound thirst, himself first has the profound thirst, to the point that he will weary himself by sitting in a pathetic well and sitting and waiting for someone to come by. Indeed, God will weary himself in order to wait and meet someone at the well who's thirsty, because God was already thirsty for that person. And then a conversation ensues. And it's not a pleasant or polite conversation. It's full of evasions and hostilities. The Samaritan woman is defensive, she's dismissive, and she's sarcastic. But the thirsting God endured it patiently. He suffered through it, to the point that they got the woman to ask the unavoidable eternal question. What is the true place of worship? Where or what is the true way to encounter God? Hasn't this been the quest of mankind ever since he first was created? And all the idols and totem poles and altars and shrines they've built since the beginning of time, they've been searching for worship, true worship. How many fights, wars, and battles have been fought over who is the right religion? Who is the true God? It is the question. Even modern man in his secularism and atheism still has his idols. Power, money, riches. We serve something. We give our hearts to something. And Jesus the Christ answers the woman, neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Where is then the true place of worship? Where does the human person finally slake his or her thirst once and for all? The Samaritan woman was looking. Quote, give me this water that I may not thirst or come here to draw any more. End of quote. Jesus the Christ answered, quote, he who drinks of the water I will give shall never thirst. It will be a fountain of water gushing up to eternal life. On the day of the resurrection, sprung a river, and that river began to water all of creation, giving water, giving drink to all who is thirsting. The new wellspring extinguishes the profound thirst of the human heart. And that profound thirst of the human heart is simply a mere manifestation of death itself. On the day of the resurrection, death became a Passover, a Pascha, from life into eternal life, where the insatiable thirst of the human heart is finally and fully satisfied. My brothers and sisters, this gushing fountain, this wellspring, this living river is called the liturgy, where the river of life, the risen, incorruptible body of Jesus the Christ, wells up from an empty tomb. And the river of life flows out into the entire cosmos, making everything it touches incorruptible. By the event of the resurrection, the walls of death collapsed. By the resurrection, all walls of separation have crumbled. By the resurrection, the thirst of the human heart is quenched, and not only quenched, it is satisfied. By the event of the resurrection, eternal life, that is divine communion with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is restored. My friends, this is the liturgy, where the waters of life gush forth into the world, transforming creation, transforming it by making a new heavens and a new earth. God is not going to destroy the world. That's a lie. The world is good. Whatever God has created is good, is not destined for annihilation. No sin of man is so strong against Almighty God. No, what does he do? He takes and he transforms it. He's transfiguring it into the new heavens and the new earth. And Fotini had that experience. Her quench was finally satisfied. And so she left behind all those men, and she left behind the water jar and all those human loves, because if she found them wanting, and thus she gave her life to Christ. And now we know her as Saint Fotini, the Holy Martyr. Christ is risen.